Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I'm so thrilled to be able to share with you today the ministry of Josh Kimes. Josh, as you'll hear in a moment, if you weren't at the conference, he's from Australia with Hillsong Sydney and was a part of that church and then went to help Hillsong New York, and he is ministering there, preaching, speaking along the East Coast and speaking around the world. And when I heard him a couple years ago at one of our camps, I said, this is a guy that we want to have him at James River for our men's conference and let you hear him on a Sunday morning. He's got a word from God. He did not disappoint in the men's conference. Josh, it's so awesome to have you with us. So would you come up and let's cheer him on. Josh Kimes, welcome to James River Church.
Amen. Amen. You guys can take a seat. It is good to be at James River Church. I have been absolutely blown away these last 24 hours, and I had so much fun at the men's conference. I got to be honest with you, though. It yesterday when we were in here, it sounded a whole lot different during worship. It smelt a whole lot different during worship, but it was absolutely amazing. And it's an honor to be here. Shout out to Pastor David, everybody at West Campus. Honored that I have the privilege of sharing this word with you also. But I love this church. It does feel like family. And I've been so encouraged by your pastors and their encouragement in my life. Come on, can we go ahead? Can we thank and honor your pastors, Pastor John and Debbie? Thank you for your leadership, your vision, your example, your encouragement. 25 years of building the local church, serving this city. I believe the best is yet to come for your family, this church. And it is an honor for me this morning to play a small part in encouraging you in your journey with God. I have a two-year-old daughter. Her name is Lila Rose, and she needs Jesus. She really does. We have a photo of her, if we can get that on here. That's my little girl. She's just dominating at the local pool. I don't know where she got that money from, but people just give her money. And she's quite confident, and she doesn't know Jesus yet. I FaceTimed her yesterday. And I said, hey, Lila. And she said, Daddy, you bringing me presents? And I said, yes. And she said, okay, bye, and hung up on me. And so need to work on her salvation and her love for her dad, who I'm just the present man. That's who I am. If you have a Bible with you, I want you to go with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8. And I want to read a short passage, and then I'm going to pray, and we are going to dive right into this. But I'd ask for you to keep us in prayer. Our church in New York, we're 5 years in, and we've seen God do some amazing things, but it is a crazy city, and we keep expanding, launching some new campuses this year, and we just need the continued grace of God, provision of God. We have our main campus right in the middle of Times Square, 44th and Broadway, and it's a building connected to the building where they do the Lion King Broadway show. And every single week, without fail, we have people that come and join the line thinking that they're going to the Lion King, thinking that they're getting free tickets to the Lion King. We're like, yeah, it's free. Jump on the end of the line. Come in. And they come into church. And by the time they realize that they're not at the Lion King, it's too awkward for them to leave. So they stay and give their lives to Jesus. And it's just amazing week in and week out. it's really cool. But I'll continue to pray for us. And Matthew chapter 1-4, we are introduced to the person of Jesus. Matthew 5-7, the famous Sermon on the Mount, we are introduced to the principles of Jesus. And then here we are right at the beginning of Matthew chapter 8, introduced to the power of Jesus. Starting in verse 1, it says, when Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. If you are taking notes, if you have a pen or a highlighter with you, you can highlight that first verse. If you are at our West Campus and you are single, you can just highlight the whole chapter. You'll look more spiritual. You can show that person that you like, God speaks to me. You should date me. let's keep reading. Verse 2. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, see that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. If you were taking notes this morning, the title of this message is quite simple. Love came down. Love came down. Just look at someone right now, just deep in the eyes, and just tell them love came down. If you don't know them, maybe don't do that. It's a little bit awkward. Don't want to create an awkward moment for you in church. But hey, let me pray for us, and then we are going to dive right into this. Jesus, we love you. And we thank you that you love us. Thank you for the privilege and honor it is to be in your house this Sunday morning. Pray that you would speak to every single one of us, God, that you would help me to clearly communicate and articulate this message, that you would divide it up hundreds of different ways that God, it might speak directly to our situation and circumstances today. We thank you that your word says, where any two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in their midst. And so, Lord, we ask you to have your way in this place, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. June 2006, I had the privilege of going on a missions trip to Rwanda, Africa, with a team from our church in Sydney. And we got to the hotel. We traveled about 30 hours, got to the hotel, and we were looking at the room list. And I noticed that we were all on the same floor. There was about 20 of us, except for the pastors that were leading the trip. They were on the floor above us. And I kind of knew what was going to happen, but it was a friend of mine, the pastor leading this trip. I was a junior high youth pastor at the time, and he came to me, my friend, and said, look, for whatever reason, they've got us on a different floor, and we need to be on the floor with everybody else, so is it cool if we just change rooms? Can you be on the floor above? I trust you guys. You can just be up there. Is that fine? And he took our room key. I'm like, sure, it's fine, you know. It wasn't really fine. Like, I was tired. I was weary. We traveled 30 hours, three different planes. I was in the middle seat every time. I got bitten by a mosquito on the way to the hotel. I was tired and weary, but sure, we'll be on the other floor, away from everyone else, isolated. That's cool. So we walk up to our room, and we open the door to our room, and we walk in, and we look left, and we look right. See, it turns out that the hotel management wanted to honor the pastors for bringing a team to sow and invest into their country. And so they reserved for the pastors the presidential suite, okay? Like, this was not just a room. This was an entire floor. It stretched from one side of the hotel to the other side of the hotel. I mean, there were two king beds. There was an intercom from one side of the room to the other side of the room. There was a dining table with African weaponry on the walls. There was a hot tub. There was an ice machine. I mean, this room was incredible. And me and my friend look at each other and we're like, should we tell the pastors? And he's like, we can't. We got to keep this a secret. And so he made me swear an oath, a pinky promise, that for 5 years we wouldn't tell a soul. And so every night we would do a team debrief in the pastor's room, which was meant to be our room, and this room was so small, and the air conditioning didn't work, and everyone's crammed in there sweating, and they're trying to call room service to bring some ice up. The phone didn't even work. I mean, we had an ice machine in our room. My friend's just looking at me like, 5 years. Of a morning, we'd all be down at breakfast, and people would be complaining about these rooms, first world problems, I realized that, but people were complaining about how small the rooms were and how the air conditioning didn't work, and my friend and I are like, yeah, it's pretty tough in the rooms, so small and it's so cramped. And you know, as fun as that experience was for my friend and I, it was pretty selfish. I'm aware of that. I've got some issues. I've repented of my selfish ways. But I mean, because we kept this room a secret, we kept everybody else on the outside. I mean, they missed out on experiencing everything we had available to us. We excluded everyone. And I don't know about you, but I am grateful today that James River Church is not an exclusive church where you have to look a certain way and talk a certain way and act a certain way. No, this isn't an exclusive service because we don't serve an exclusive Savior. We serve a God who makes his love and his grace and his forgiveness available to everyone. And I love this passage in Matthew chapter 8 because it reminds me that Jesus doesn't exclude anybody. He includes everybody, even this leper who had no right in the natural to approach Jesus. You know, in Bible days, lepers had to announce themselves coming by. Hey, I'm a leper. Don't get too close. I mean, that would have been absolutely humiliating. I'm unclean, don't get too close. I mean, can you imagine life in Missouri if you had to walk around shouting out your brokenness? Hey, I'm insecure, don't get too close to me. Hey, I've got some issues, don't get too close to me. Hey, I'm an alcoholic, don't get too close to me. Hey, I'm a failure, I'm a cheater, I'm a liar, don't get too close to me. I like cats, don't get too close to me. If you're a cat lover, we love you. We do, we're praying for you this morning. You know, it's interesting that at that time in history, leprosy was the living symbol for sin. Leprosy helped people understand the very nature of sin leprosy goes deeper than the skin. Sin isolates like leprosy does. Sin defiles like leprosy does. Those who contracted it had to be completely removed from society. You were isolated and ostracized until death. I mean, you were alive, but you were really dead. And I wonder if you've ever been in a season of life where, oh, you're alive on the outside, but you feel dead on the inside. There's something on the inside that feels dead. Maybe it's a dream that feels dead. Maybe hope that feels dead. Maybe confidence that seems to be dead. We live in a culture today that is consumed, plagued by spiritual leprosy. We're on the outside, and people can pretend like they've got it all together, and people can smile and say they're fine, and you can ask someone how they're doing, and they can tell you that they are blessed, they are too blessed to be stressed. I mean, people can pretend and hide it, but for so many people on the inside, people feel isolated, feel disconnected, unclean, feel like they're coming undone. Verse 2. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." I mean, this leper had clearly run out of options because he is risking his life to seek a healing that might not even occur. If you're willing, you can make me clean. I know I'm not meant to be here, Jesus, but I'm out of options. Have you ever been out of options in life? When you feel like you've tried everything in your own strength and you've done everything in your power to change this situation, but you're like, I feel like I've got nothing left in the tank. I've done everything, Jesus. I need you to show up. You are my only option. If you're willing, you can make me clean. You can make me clean. You can. That is good news, because I don't know if I could serve a God who can't. A God who can't do the impossible. A God who can't turn a life around in a moment. A God who can't bring life to dead things. But the good news today is that we don't have to, because we serve a God who can. God can restore your sick body. God can restore your marriage. God can restore brokenness. He can restore health and confidence and vision and passion. We serve a God who can. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. I mean, Jesus says the most compassionate, beautiful statement, 3 words, "I am willing." I'm willing. You need to know this morning that Jesus is not just able. Jesus is willing. He's willing to meet you right where you're at. He's willing to stand with you. He's willing to strengthen you from the inside out. And all that's required of you and I is an expectation and a realization that Jesus is my only option. Verse 4, Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Jesus had him show himself to the priest so that he could be reintroduced to society, so that he could be connected again, so that he could go back to his family. I love that Jesus did not just heal him. No, he made sure that he was restored to connection and restored to community, because we were never created to live isolated in life. Proverbs 18:1, those who isolate themselves rage against wisdom. That's why I love the local church. That's why I love that we can gather. That's why I love that there's Wednesday night prayer and there's small groups and there's conferences, because this connection, this community, this gathering, this family, it's more important than we realize. Jesus made sure that he went to the priest so that he could experience connection and community again, so that he could be included again. Jesus is the most
inclusive person who has ever walked the face of the earth. Matthew 19, when the disciples tried to keep some children away from Jesus, Jesus said, no, let the children come to show that the young are included. In Mark 9, when the disciples were criticizing a man for doing God's work who wasn't in their crew, Jesus said, no, let him go to show that even outsiders were included. In John 4, when a Samaritan woman came to the well alone, Jesus initiated conversation to show that women and outcasts are included. In Luke 19, when a sinful tax collector named Zacchaeus climbed a tree just to see a glimpse of Jesus, Jesus said, I'm going to have dinner at your place to show that the greedy and the dishonest are included. And in Luke 23, Jesus hanging on the cross, when the criminal next to him realized who he was, Jesus promised him a place in paradise to show all of us for all of time that it is never too late and you are never too lost. No matter who you are or what you've done, you can be included. He includes us despite our flaws and our failures and our insecurities and our doubts. He includes everyone. Ephesians 2:13, now because of Christ dying that death and shedding that blood, you who were once out of it altogether are in on everything. Jesus is the most inclusive person. But so many of us live like Jesus is exclusive. Like we serve this far off God who's so distant that we're calling out to, that we're trying to get close to, but he's so far away, so disconnected. Last night I had dinner with some of the guys and we were downtown Springfield and we walked past this venue and it was the FHL Championships. You might not know what the FHL Championships are, the Facial Hair League Championships. Oh yeah, last night, it was absolutely incredible. There was this venue packed with these guys with these massive beards and they looked scary and we just wanted to be a part of it. We just wanted to go in and just see what was happening, the FHL Championships, and we weren't allowed in. And we tried, like, hey guys, can we come in? We had to have a ticket and we couldn't get in and we're just standing there. Some of these guys had all these things in their beard. I think someone had a small cat in their beard. I mean, it was just crazy, but we wanted to be included. We wanted to be a part of it. And we're trying to catch their attention to let us in a side door, but no one would acknowledge us. No one would let us in. And I'm grateful that we don't serve a God who keeps us at a distance. I'm grateful we don't serve a God who keeps us on the outside. No, we serve a God who draws us in, who welcomes us, who includes everybody. And I don't know about you, but I want to live like that. I want to live inclusive like Jesus did. I want to live my life in a way that welcomes people home. My life in a way that helps people feel comfortable and helps people feel connected, because I know what it feels like to be excluded. Maybe you do too, to feel like you're on the outside and it's not fun at all. I want people to feel welcome and connected, feel like they're a part of this. And in the time we have left, I want to give us just two simple ways that you and I can live more inclusive, more like Jesus. If you're taking notes, I'd encourage you to write this down. Point number one, we've got to be interruptible. If we're going to live more inclusive and live more like Jesus, we've got to be interruptible. Just turn to someone and say, you've got to be interruptible. Just look back and say, hey, don't interrupt me. I'm trying to listen. But we've got to be interruptible because you never know what you're stopping might start. I'll never forget, recently I was on my way to a meeting and I was at Penn Station in New York and I was trying to catch the train and I walked past this gentleman who was obviously hungry and he was asking for money and I didn't really have anything on me and so I walked past him but I smiled, I acknowledged him, I kept going and as I walked past him I felt convicted, felt like God spoke to me and said I would have stopped. And I felt instantly convicted. I'm like, God, I'm sorry for failing again. And I saw what I had. I didn't really have anything, but there was an ATM. So I just got out like $20 and I gave it to this gentleman. I'm like, hey, I pray this blesses you. You know, get something to eat tonight. And he sees it and he looks at me and he starts bouncing up and down. He's like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm like, sir, my name's Josh, not Jesus. That was my $20. I gave that. I didn't say that. But he was like, oh, thank you so much. And I walked to my meeting and I thought, how many God moments have I missed? Because I haven't wanted to be interrupted. And God, that was a rhetorical question. I don't want to know the answer to that. But if we are going to live more inclusive, more like Jesus, we've got to be okay with being interrupted. more aware that a smile, more aware that an encouraging word, a note, a text message, an email, a generous act, just listening to someone, hugging someone can have more of an impact than we realize. I don't want to become too preoccupied building my own life that I forget to build into someone else's. I want to welcome the interruptions more than I complain about the interruptions. When Jesus is interrupted by this leper at the base of the mountain, I'm pretty sure the crowd around Jesus would have been like, "Come on, Jesus, we've got to go. Come on, Jesus, we got to go to the next town. Don't you see? He's a leper. He's unclean. He shouldn't even be here. Let's get him away. Come on, let's go." But no, Jesus welcomed this interruption. And maybe Jesus shook his head. Maybe Jesus was like, "Guys, don't you get it? Like, this right here is the point. This is the essence of everything I taught you on that mountain." I mean, this crowd has just heard the greatest sermon in the history of humanity and are now witnesses to the very love, grace, and mercy that Jesus taught about. I mean, it's hard to fathom this paradox that the man with leprosy at the base of the mountain who didn't even hear the sermon is the one who discovers the key to satisfaction. Come to the end of myself and say that I've got some issues and I can't do this. I need help. Jesus is my only option. And Jesus says, "Come here. I've got you. I'll fix you and you'll be clean." We've got to be interruptible. Second way you and I can live more inclusive, more like Jesus. If you're at the West Campus, I want you to write this down. Point number two, we've got to be intentional. We've got to be intentional, be who you are, how you are, and where you are on purpose. And the team can join me as I start to close this out this morning. We have this incredible lady in our church in New York, and she's a single mom. She has two adult kids now, and she makes the greatest empanadas. She is an incredible cook, and she's a five-time cancer survivor. She has fought cancer and gotten through it five different times, and she has a crazy story, and she was telling me not too long ago that she found out she had cancer again for the sixth time, and she had to spend a week in hospital. And she told me this time was different. She told me that she went there, and instead of just kind of putting up with it and being angry and frustrated that she's got to deal with this again, she told me that she decided that she was going to visit every cancer patient on her floor. And she's telling me this story with tears rolling down her face. And she's like, "I had no idea the impact this would have." And she told me that some people, they hadn't had any visitors yet, and they didn't have family and they didn't have friends, but she would go and she would sit with people and listen to people and talk with people and watch TV with some of the people. And some didn't have the strength to change the channel, but she would change the channel and she would hug people and she would pray for people who wanted prayer. And she told me that by the end of her week in hospital, while she was getting treatment and while she was in pain, by the end of it, she had led eight people to Jesus. Eight people to Jesus. I mean, talk about living intentional. And every time I see this woman at church, I just give her a hug and I'm reminded of how I need to live more intentional, how I need to be intentional with my words and intentional with my actions, intentional with my generosity, intentional with encouraging people, intentional with every area of my life, intentional with building into my marriage and building up my daughter, intentional with friendships. Everything Jesus did was intentional. Everything Jesus did, where he went, how he got there, what he spoke about, who he took with him, his body language, his tone, everything. Look at verse 3 again. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Do you know that Jesus didn't have to reach out and touch this man? I mean, it's Jesus, it's God in the flesh. There's no special formula to the way Jesus would heal people. I mean, sometimes Jesus would just say, "Be healed," and people would be healed. Other times Jesus would say, "Hey, pick up your mat and walk," and people would pick up their mat and walk home. One time Jesus called out to 10 lepers and said, "Hey, go and show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. And yet on this occasion, Jesus intentionally reaches out and touches this broken, contagious, sinful man. I mean, why is this significant? Who, by definition of the law, when Jesus reached out and touched him, Jesus should have been unclean. I mean, that's what the law said. If you were to touch someone with leprosy, you were immediately made unclean, because what was unclean would make clean unclean. That's why lepers had to announce themselves coming by. That's why they had to wear a bell. That's why they had to call out their brokenness. That's why they were isolated, because if you were to touch someone with leprosy, you would immediately be made unclean. But because of the grace of our God, because of Jesus, for the first time in history, what was clean made unclean clean. I mean, this completely flips the script on the contagiousness of leprosy sin by intentionally reaching out and touching this leper. Jesus was saying, I am more contagious than sin. Jesus is more contagious than sin. So when you and I find ourselves in unclean situations and environments, maybe at work, maybe at college, maybe at school, you need to know that your clean is contagious. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is within you than he that's within the world. You don't have to be intimidated. You don't have to worry like you used to, because your clean is contagious. Someone needs to be reminded this morning that the Jesus in you is more contagious than the culture around you. Come on. His love is contagious, and his grace is contagious, and his peace is contagious. You know, Jesus, he wasn't just intentional about how he healed this leper. He was intentional about where he healed him. Verse 1, when Jesus came down from the mountainside, it was at the base of the mountain. Jesus came down the mountain. I mean, the ramifications of this change everything, because so often in life we feel this pressure to climb the mountain. We feel like we've got to climb this mountain of good works and climb this mountain of religion, thinking that if I do enough, and if I work hard enough, and if I'm successful enough, and if I pray enough, and if I give enough, and if I impress God enough, then maybe I can climb my way up to him. Maybe I can get closer to God. I've just got to impress him enough. Are you kidding me? Impress him. I mean, we can please him. Faith pleases God, but impress God. I mean, we breathe out carbon dioxide. You know what God breathes out? God breathes out stars, and God breathes out galaxies. I mean, there is nothing we can do to impress God. He has seen it all. He has done it all. He has created it all. It's not about how many books we read. It's not about how smart we become. It's not about how much we know. It's not about how spiritual we can talk, or how many podcasts we listen to. 1 Corinthians 8:1, knowledge, it puffs up, but love, it builds up. There's nothing we can do to work our way up to him and climb our way up to him, because he already came down. Jesus, he didn't stay on the mountain teaching us how to live. No, he came down to show us how. I mean, that's the gospel. This whole gospel is that love came down. Jesus came down from his high and lofty abode, where his law is sparkling, perfect, and just, coming down to broken humanity to fulfill everything he taught on that mountain that we must aspire to attain but could never accomplish without him. Love came down. Love came down to touch the untouchable. Love came down to heal the hurting. Love came down to put the broken back together. Love came down to restore. Love came down to redeem. Love came down to rescue. Love came down to include the isolated and include the ostracized and the marginalized. Love came down to include the insiders and the outsiders, the famous and the faceless. Love came down because his love for humanity, it knows no end. I mean, his love is illogical. His love is unconditional. It is the most unstoppable force in the universe. His love never wavers.
His love never weakens. His love never gives up. I love what Paul says in Romans 8, verse 38. I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Come on, church. We got to live inclusive. And we've got to be interruptible and be intentional and point this broken humanity to Jesus, because he is the only option. He's the only one that can heal. He's the only one that can set someone free, the only one that can turn a life around in a moment.